mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Thank you, David Cole. Jim McClure with you of the Walworth County Beacon and also WGTD News. I want to thank you for listening this morning. Topic we're going to cover of vital interest to southeastern Wisconsin, Kenosha County, Racine County, Walworth County, Lake County, Illinois, McHenry County, Illinois. Are our children safe? The ultimate question we all ask when we watch the news. We wish it could be all good news. But any news, any community effort revolves around, was everything okay today? And unfortunately, too often, the answer is not. And unfortunately, too often, no matter when this particular show airs, there's often a reason to be talking about something awful that happened to the nation. And the latest, of course, being what happened down in Florida. But when you think about it, places that have become household names, and you mention them, like Aurora or Orlando, they're no longer identified as names or places. They're identified as places where a horrible shooting has happened. In the teens, in the past start of this year alone. But going back in history, Greencastle, Chattanooga, Charleston, Danville, Iola, Baltimore, St. Paul, Chicago, Council Bluffs, Iowa. So many places now are associated, and where can it come next? People are worried. But there's also cause for hope. And my guest today on Community Matters intersects with much of these times in history and has a unique inside perspective. Lieutenant Colonel Nathan Bond is a retired Army colonel. He served in various capacities, including as a public affairs officer, where he is sometimes, potentially, that official who comes before the cameras and says, I have this to report. This is what happened. He is in Walworth County, a school board member of a private school in the Geneva Lakes area, and in a capacity where he has joined us before. Nate is the Veterans Services Office, or heads that office for Walworth County in all his capacities, be it his Army career or on the school board or representing veterans. He has dealt with issues about guns, about safety, about mental health, all the things we are talking and debating about this week. And heaven help us, Nate, next week it may be another place and time. Nate Bond, Colonel, retired, welcome to Community Matters and welcome back.
Jim, thank you so much for letting me be here today with you and your listeners. I truly appreciate it.
It's happened so much. I'm going to answer a question that used to be unique. Where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you when Reagan was shot, our presidents? Where were you? I know where I was. I was in a radio studio when I heard about the assassination of President Anwar Sadat, and I'd been on the job all of, I think, 6 minutes. But now more and more it's school shootings. So when you first heard of this, wherever you were, what was your reaction when you heard what happened down in Florida? And I should also mention in our introduction that you've been the father of two and role model to many children over the years.
Well, thank you, Jim. Parkland, oh, what a tragedy. And I was at work at the time, and my first thought was, no, not again. What could we have done? What is the reasonable thing we as a community, as fathers and mothers can do to stop this, these horrible acts? As I was reading on the topic, anticipating talking with you today, Greencastle, Pennsylvania, Jim, 10 students killed.
And
you're not going to believe me when I tell you this, 1764.
The year 1764.
Yeah.
18th century 12 years before the founding of our nation, that's how long the problem's been around.
Right. You know, one teacher shot, 9 students brutally beaten to death. So violence on school campuses is not a new thing. I would just think that with a nation that can put men on the moon, we would how can't we come up with a solution to this problem?
And Colonel, let's go back before men on the moon. I mean, we can think back to the assassinations of presidents, which were more frequent than we'd like. Lincoln, McKinley, and certainly attempts on everyone from FDR to Truman. Kennedy, mm-hmm. the attempt to...
Well, you mentioned Kennedy, but, Austin, Texas in 1966. And
that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time in the public consciousness where this... Was he a Marine?
He was a veteran who was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. He didn't have the name at that time. He had shell shock.
Right. It was called combat fatigue in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Shell shock. And for those of you younger than, I would say, 55, this event traumatized the nation. He went to the top of the tower at the University of Texas campus in Austin and just started taking pot shots at people.
Yeah, killed 71 individuals, wounded 31 others. I inverted my numbers, Jim. I'm very sorry.
That's all right. That was my high school football number, so we can...
A little leeway there for me?
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, a little leeway. I mean, and really, Nate, the numbers are so staggering that it's hard not to transpose any. And then all of a sudden there's just been, it seems, an acceleration. I think the next touch point, although you could put the yardstick anywhere, and this is where the schools come in. No, I'm going to go back a little bit. Let's go to something that happened on the north shore suburbs of Chicago, 1988,
mm-hmm.
Winnetka, I believe. Lori Dan walked into a school.
Yes.
And killed children, someone who was mentally ill. And, of course, I think as we leap through, and I hate doing it because so much happened before and after, but Columbine.
Oh, goodness, yes.
The trauma that just beset a whole nation. Of these three guys, weren't they called the trench coat guy?
The trench coat mafia, the two young men, who I won't mention their names today because I really don't want to give them that notoriety still to this day.
And thank you. Yeah, one's first name was Dylan, but I'm not going to go any farther. Literally walking up to children and saying, "Are you a Christian?" To which one 16-year-old stood up and said, "Yes, I am, and not afraid," and got shot. What a horrific thing. I know it was horrific for me. Now, you know I've spent 37 years as a broadcast and print journalist. I have seen things that you would not believe. I have stumbled over things at crime scenes that I would look down and couldn't believe what I was seeing or touching. And as a viewer, to see that child sprawled by the sidewalk as the kids come running out, I'm not going to claim post-traumatic stress disorder, but I'm certainly going to claim recall. When I saw the kids running out of Parkland, that's the first thing I remember. When I saw all the deputies and police officers and firefighters behind their cars with their weapons, and of course the latest controversy just 72 hours ago, about why they didn't rush in, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Deja vu all over again. Here in Wisconsin, all too familiar Latter-day, the Sikh worship incident. Mm. And there have been several more.
Yes.
Where does it stop? And more importantly, how do you stop it?
In a free society, a freedom that was hard fought and won by men and women, starting back as, early as 1774, 1775, all the way through to this day, where men to this day still have to stand guard for our freedoms. How do you tell a free people that they have to curtail that freedom? Is that the right way to attack this problem? Excuse the word attack, but I think in military terms. How do you attack this problem? What is the
It's almost chicken and egg, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't defend against these things, Jim. If you're in the defensive mode, you lose. That's a given fact in military terms. You can't be on the defense. You have to be on the offense. And so how do we attack this problem? But I don't think we've even defined the problem, Jim.
No. And as a presidential historian along the way, and being blessed with the chance to cover, I think, five or six presidents now, and meet three or four. And folks, that's not a boast. It's H.L. Mencken called journalism the life of kings. So whether you're in Keokuk, Iowa, or big places like Kenosha and Milwaukee, you're going to meet a president. You won't make any money, but you'll you'll witness history. And something that has always stuck with me through the years was, I believe it was President Kennedy, foreshadowing his own death, saying, if a man has the will, there's or woman, as we would find out with Squeaky Fromm and a couple others, with even President Ford trying.
Yes, President Ford. Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. And I'll tell you what, Nate, one of the reasons why I thought of you as a guest for this topic is there are so many people grieving right now, the nation, the world, the politicians that are trying to figure out what, if anything, can be done, even as they fight about it. But let's step into the shoes of those parents, those grandmothers, those kids. Forgive me for intruding with personal matters, but what's it like to lose a child? You know that all too well.
Yes, my wife Julie and I do know the grief and suffering of losing a child. Our son Caleb passed away at the age of 8. It was a brain tumor, inoperable brain tumor. So different, obviously, than the traumatic loss of a child such
as
that.
But the effect on a family. I've heard it's the hardest thing that a couple can go through, too.
The statistics are not good for a married couple if a child dies, regardless of the reason. I've heard as high as 97%. I don't know that for a fact. You know, all statistics are made up on the spot, according to Abraham Lincoln on the internet the other day. But
I'm fortunate to know both you and Julie Myers Bond, and that combination of love and strength, and we know that love always endures, which when you get right down to it, that's what's going to overcome.
Well, and the truth of it is, Jim, it's not just the love between a husband and wife that saves that marriage. It's an entire community, both families, my family, Julie's family, the community around us, the church we go to, and of course, the God we worship. That has kept our marriage together. But it's interesting because normally in a husband-wife relationship, one person is down, the other's up. We balance each other out. But when you're both down and there's nobody to lean on because neither has the strength to stand on their own.
So imagine there's deaths, there's casualties, much as in war.
But
my goodness, the lasting impact of what's happened down there and in all these incidents.
The devastation is beyond description, Jim. We can talk numbers. We could hear each individual story, and your listeners, as intelligent and compassionate as they are, could never truly understand what it is to lose a child unless they've lost one themselves. And God, I hope they never, ever experience that.
Sticking close to the most recent headlines, while our listeners, who are very erudite when it comes to listening to the news and being aware, so much controversy the last couple hours about would you rush in? Would the president have rushed in? It has been my pleasure over the past 4 years to not only interview you on topics from the Belfry Theater coming back to veterans issues, but to meet some of our law enforcement leaders. Sheriff Kurt Picknell of Walworth County, Chief Clark, who heads the law enforcement council of all the chiefs and the sheriffs, a great friend to this program, Chief Brad Buchholz of Sharon, who was a cross between Andy Griffith and Rambo, having been a Navy rescue diver. All of them said to a man, there's a different personality. They rush in where others run away. I can relate to that as a Marine. No, I wasn't in combat. No, I wasn't an infantryman. But I was ready when I took that oath. I was ready to go in whenever and protect people. I assume you were as well. What is the mentality of the law enforcement person or the fireman, or let's add it, the school counselor who's going into that crisis situation? What causes people to run towards problems, to try and solve problems, to try and stop a shooter, even when likely you're going to be taken out in the process?
Some people have a sense of duty that goes beyond self. They have that sense of service that is far above self. John Wayne talked about bravery versus stupidity. Being stupid is not being afraid. Being afraid is what you're supposed to be. Being brave is being scared and still getting up on that horse and going into battle. What's the personality? You know, you take a man like Sheriff Kirk Picknell, who I truly believe would get on that horse and charge into battle.
Still makes traffic stops every day.
Yeah.
And anybody who walks up to a car, you have no idea who or what is in that car.
Right. And so I have no doubt that we have good men and women in our law enforcement community here in southeastern Wisconsin who would go where angels fear to tread in order to save the life of any one of our children. And I'm happy to be able to call many of them friend as well. No one really knows what they're going to do until they come under fire.
I can tell you countless times in my crazy quote life of journalism, most of it spent in television, believe it or not, and from the 80s to the early part of this decade. And I came upon many scenes, and it changed. It used to be go in guns blazing, and then about the mid-80s, the idea of negotiators, the idea of you minimize the threat by backing off.
Yeah, that just does not work in these active shooter situations, Jim. Over and over again, it's shown that these active shooters do not stop, will not stop, unless someone stops them.
And I can't tell you how many times we were there for 2, 3, 4 hours and then found out all the damage was done. So I think there's a sea change in that, and it's interesting the reaction about the police. I mean, I was amazed watching the live reports at the time from my corporate security job that I do on the side. And part of that job is to, believe it or not, get people out from terrorist incidents around the world for a large corporation. But I was amazed that all guns were drawn, everything was trained on the building, and they were loaded for bear. I mean, to me, it looked like a move to the point of being a little excess. You know, how many people with police service weapons do you need pointing at the building? After the first 50, I think you got it covered. But then to hear that the first 3 people on the scene didn't go in, what was going through their mind?
You know, Jim, I got to tell you, it seems to me that there must have been a lack of training. Training is what overcomes fear.
That's what Sheriff Picknell has told me in the past, and Chief Buchholz.
Mm-hmm.
You just train for everything.
Well, speaking as a school board member.
Yes, please.
I have had the Sheriff's Department into our school. I have had the town of Walworth Police into our school. I have had the Williams Bay Village Police into our school. And why? Because I want them to know what our school looks like. I want them to have a lay of the battlefield. And wait a minute, did I just call our school a battlefield?
Yes.
Whether I like it or not, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
It is a target of people who would do harm to my children, your children, our community. And we don't always get to choose where we fight the battle, but we have to fight it.
And be ready. who was it, Barry Goldwater, who said eternal vigilance is the price of freedom? Being scared about your kids is the price of protecting them. We're now at the halfway point of Community Matters for this Saturday. It's 11:36, and we still have quite a bit to go. And an important topic to cover is what can be done ahead of time. My host host topic is on safety in schools. I am Jim McClure, and with me is Lieutenant Colonel Nate Bond, who is a school board member at a private school in Walworth County, and watches over many of the veterans as the head veteran services officer for Walworth County, and is a father, knows what it's like to lose a child, and as we'll soon relate, both he and I are familiar with guns and reasons pro and con. So we'll get into that a little bit too. You're listening to WGTD FMHD out of Kenosha Racine on 91.1 FM, out of Elkhorn, the county seat of Walworth, on 101.7 FM, and in Lake Geneva and the Geneva Lakes area on 103.3 FM, and around the world, and Nate is a military member, all the ships at sea.
On Mr. and Mrs. American, all ships at sea.
Yes, yeah. As Walter Winchell used to say, WGTD.org. So if you were about to switch formats, if you're getting out of the car and say, gosh, this fella Nate's interesting, and he sure is, feel free to throw on your computer or your phone. We'll be right there waiting for you. Colonel Nate Bond, what can be done in a school? How can you, it has to be more than the lip service of welcome's not, weapons not welcome here on a sticker at the doorway.
Yeah, because people pay attention to signs all day long, especially people intent on doing harm.
Right.
There are things that can be done. There is technology available to us, film for windows and glass doors that essentially turn them into bulletproof glass.
The kind of thing that you would see at a bank or a high security military installation. No reason other than financial, I would assume, to outfit. I had never thought of that.
You know, Jim, a private school with a very small budget where I pinch nickels and dimes all day as the treasurer of the board of directors there. I'd pinch pennies, but I anyway, I won't talk that much about that. But I found the money.
Yeah, suffice to say, money has to be found and priorities have to be
made. Exactly, and the safety of our children is top among those. Door locks that can't be shot out, barriers that can be placed to restrict shooter access to rooms and to the school overall, but also emergency response that's been trained, where law enforcement knows the layout of the school. Law enforcement has been there and worked with administrators and teachers and has run the active shooter drill. We grew up, Jim, doing fire drills.
And, yes.
And actually, some of us even did duck and cover drills in the hallway.
Yes, and when we got to be adults, we did the in the skyscrapers as we commuted to our downtown jobs. I was public relations executive for a while, just a different type of journalist. All kinds of things. We didn't know we were preparing for the 9/11 attacks.
Yes, but we were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our students aren't ignorant of what's going on, unfortunately. They do know. Even our youngest students know that there are evil people out there. And they know they need to be prepared. So we run training exercises from our K-4 through 12 students. We run active shooter exercises just like we run fire drills. They're necessary. There's just no way around it. I could pray and wish all day long that it would never happen again, but it will.
If your child is no longer a child, but they're always your child and they're always your parents, you know, your child may be at S.C. Johnson, Case, Kekulman.
Well, Jim, you know a lot more about corporate security than I do, but
the same principles apply as to what you do. And indeed, security versus law enforcement, and I've spent 11 years in the security business, along with a significant time as being a reserve naval officer since 1978. I mean, there's just basics that you count all the heads, you secure the perimeter. Corporate security, the job is to make sure they don't get past the gate, or if they do, that they can't get past the door, or if they do that, that there's another perimeter of defense, whereas law enforcement can surge in. Two things that are common. Resources are available, and now I think we're trying to comfort our audience a little bit. I think we all could use it. It is amazing the resources you have when people work together. And I don't care whether it's learning how to bake a souffle or protect yourself in the midst of it is something for me to personally relate. That, for example, when I worked as a 911 dispatcher briefly before I had to retire because I lost my dad during the process and of my first year, it was amazing to see, especially when I went out with the police, if there was a incident at a bank, if there was a stakeout, all of a sudden a police force of six becomes a police force of 60. A fire department of three trucks all of a sudden becomes a combined Wisconsin-Illinois force of eight fire departments. The surge of people. There's all kinds of resources. We don't want to spell it out. But wherever you are, wherever your child is, wherever your grandparent is, there are men and women willing to put their life on the line and surround you with the same love and protection as, you know.
As if it was their own child.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I know these men and women that we're talking about. I know that, well, quite honestly, there are a couple of them that if I had to leave my child to someone— They'd be a very close second choice to my brother. But, Jim, you know, we talk about responses. They don't just happen. They have to be planned. They have to be coordinated, and they have to be exercised. And most people don't realize that it's going on. They hear the tornado siren going off every Wednesday afternoon at noon, and they just think, well, okay. They're making sure that horn works. It's far deeper than that. A lot is going on behind the scenes that most of us are blissfully unaware of.
Yeah.
But those responses, you know, when they talk about a five-alarm fire, that's because five fire units in here in southeast Wisconsin, that mostly means five volunteer fire units are working together to put that fire out.
And you would be surprised, dear listeners, whether it's the Lions Club meeting of the men of Williams Bay or the Women's Association of Racine Kenosha combined, everybody plans now for something awful happening and hopefully are more ready as a result. Nate, let's rush in right to a debate that everyone is talking about, and it truly is reflective of this program's title, Community Matters. It is a matter for every community, whether it's three people praying in church, whether it is a an organization dedicated to removing guns from our society. Everybody is potentially affected wherever you are. So let's leap right in. I'll do it with my reporter's objectivity. You'll do it from your unique perspective. Let's talk about guns. I believe you're familiar with them.
I've maybe had shot one or two.
What types?
Oh, goodness. Of course, I'm very familiar with the M16, A1, A2, A3, and A4, the M4. I've fired the M60 machine gun, which is a 30 caliber automatic submachine gun. I fired the 50 caliber machine gun. I've the M203 grenade launcher.
That's my personal favorite as a Marine. That's the M16 that you throw an egg into and all of a sudden becomes a grenade launcher. Yeah. What I'm going with this is reflective not only of our mutual careers as military officers, in your case a career, in my case a avocation, I suppose, during my two stints before and now after 9/11.
We're a society that's filled with guns for various reasons, pro and con. So, I don't suppose you're a member of the NRA?
I was until recently a life member of the NRA. I had my card in my back pocket and sent my dues in and helped with the NRA ILA, Institute for Legislative Action, on a regular basis, routinely.
My home base of Walworth County, where I am the correspondent for WGTD News, the original radio station in Walworth County, 1964, guess what it is now? It is a business for gun training, open concealed training, and all that. Within the four walls of WGTD FMHD, as we talk about this topic, should you eliminate guns? Can you eliminate guns in the context of protecting our kids?
No.
I hate to give you a simple question.
I mean, I'll give you a simple answer, and the answer is, unfortunately, no. We can try to compare ourselves to other countries, but really when we do that, we limit our understanding. The population of Australia is actually lower than the population of California. And so when they go and they round up all of their semi-automatic rifles and others, it has a huge impact because they have a national resource on a population that's state size.
It's funny. I'm not paying particular attention to Nate because with great interest I'm watching one of our security guards for Gateway walk through. And, of course, I'm having been a security supervisor, I won't say whether or not I am now, but I just might be, I'm watching how she does things and I'm waving at her and she's doing a pretty good job. Yeah. But how sad that as we do this live, I think it's close enough now, there's only 14 minutes left. Often, and at many places, what sounds live isn't, but you and I are very much alive and ticking. And
yeah.
Well, I suppose I could have recorded that, but it is 11:47 in Kenosha, and we're in a building that theoretically someone who wanted to come in and make a name for themselves could.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid to say that at the start of the hour.
Yeah.
And how sad. And imagine what it's like now when you walk into church, when you walk into a Democratic Party or an Independent Party or a Republican,
you know,
event,
anywhere, any
and
place,
you're afraid what's going to happen.
Any venue. Where you have a published schedule. Now we have actionable intelligence that has been distributed weeks in advance. People can go online and look at the building plans of that venue. They can probably observe the standard security procedures of that venue. But we have an open society. And at what point do we say we're going to give up these freedoms
right
for safety?
Do you stay off the planes after 9/11?
Or do you keep flying? Do you go through some reasonable restrictions? Do we take some reasonable measures? Do we give up a certain amount of liberty in order to stay safe? The answer is we do it all the time.
We launch our rockets in front of the world,
yeah,
as we did during the space race. Our military bases, for the most part, it gets real interesting after a terrorist incident. All of a sudden, they start looking like military bases with guns.
But those
are open for the most part.
We talk about, well, for instance, the Hassan.
You know where
shooting,
I'm going, the
Fort
Hood,
Texas.
Incident, where the military, you know, with the Army psychologist.
We often talk, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, we often talk about how secure military bases are, and the facts are only certain parts of military bases are secure. Only certain parts.
And this isn't San Diego, this isn't Norfolk, this isn't Washington, D.C., but we've got a National Guard and an Air Force Reserve base right in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a Naval Support Center. Fort McCoy, even the former Fort Sheridan still has Army personnel.
Mm-hmm.
We're surrounded by the military here, too. And even those aren't safe, are they?
Safe is a weird word, Jim.
Well, think back to Tennessee,
yeah,
and the Marine recruiting office.
Exactly. So, you know, when we look at the Hassan shooting, he drove up to the main gate of Fort Hood, Texas, showed his military ID card.
A major?
A major.
And a psychiatrist, mm-hmm, treating troops.
Yep, had at least a secret security clearance, mm-hmm. even though his supervisors had recommended it to be revoked in the past, but not all of them, and it wasn't done. Drove over to a place where people were completely undefended. They were there doing pre-deployment physical readiness, like so. They're getting their blood pressure taken, Jim.
Right.
You know, and this guy comes in and starts shooting them. And the only thing that stopped him was when an armed security person, not even a soldier, when an armed security person confronted him.
A couple of these church incidents were stopped because somebody stood up, either mm-hmm. an off-duty or on-duty detective yep. or a member of the church.
Well, it's very interesting. I've been involved in security for my church, security planning and preparation and response. A couple of our deputies from Walworth County who attend mm-hmm. have led that effort along with our pastor. And there's a plan. There's coordination. There are efforts to, one, prevent, but two, stop any active shooter.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to walk into, and I'll say it because they helped my participation. They provided a place for me to start my Walworth County reports. Calvary Community Church, which is very much a community church, it's where we hold for the community, all face or no face, concerts, the symphony is there, all kinds of speakers, charity events, and yeah, I wouldn't walk in there. It's kind of like the person you don't want to walk out.
Yeah, you don't go in there with an AR-15 if you want to walk out.
July 4th, all the veterans that are celebrated there, yeah, it's a fairly safe place. Well, let's speak then, and people can draw their own conclusions as far as guns, no guns. I think we presented both sides of the perspective, but we definitely don't want 14-year-olds walking around.
Yeah, there are reasonable restrictions. You know, right. Something as innocuous in theory as an automobile, we don't let anyone under the age of 16 drive those. And at my age now, I wonder why they ever even thought about giving me at the age of 16, a driver's license. That was ridiculous.
Right.
But
what's the most secure facility you've ever driven on in the military? And I'll counter it.
I could tell you, Jim, but then I'd have to kill you.
Yeah. But me being me, I will tell you. I actually, in simpler times, I think it was 92, I actually did walk into the Pentagon all the way through the gym entrance. And then I was going to see a friend, Admiral Craig Quigley. Hello, Craig. I know you're listening. Who was Don Rumsfeld's public affairs officer,
yes.
And gave the first reports after the Pentagon was struck
mm-hmm.
from a Sitco station he commandeered after walking out through smoke. I mean, just this summer, I was on the Naval Submarine Base in Kings Bay, Georgia, where all our submarines that are ready to blow the world to kingdom come, God forbid, are there along with the British ones. Safe bet it's the most secure place in the world. You better believe they were ready for cars. I mean, mm-hmm. What you have to do, and it reminded me of Camp Perry, which doesn't exist, where the CIA doesn't train its people. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mention it other than the fact there's been so many movies now.
Yeah.
So there are ways to prevent.
But, Jim, you know, there's things we can look at.
Right.
We can look at who have been the active shooters over these past years.
I do want to get into mental health before time's up.
They're young white males.
Really? Well, you're right.
The active shooters who are mass, quote-unquote, mass shooters, and I have a different definition of mass shooting than the average. Three people were killed in a single incident because of a
right.
drug gang incident.
Or the mass bombers. Timothy McVeigh.
Tim McVeigh.
A disenchanted mm-hmm. Army veteran, grew up in Port Huron.
Quartered Invictus in his letter before his execution. So that tells you.
Yeah,
quite a bit about him.
And a fine member of the security community, and think of all the people he was guarding at warehouses and at corporate things mm-hmm. if he had snapped. But I'm going to interrupt you enough to say mental health.
Yes.
Do we lock up every poor person that's depressed or has gotten into a loud argument at work? How do we...
There's more we can do about mental health in our society, certainly. And one is training more individuals to be in the mental health care field. We are so shorthanded psychiatrists and psychologists and therapists. It's unbelievable. We can't even begin to attack the problem. But I also think a big thing about the problem with mental health is that we try to attack it with pills instead of ocean waves and right. trees and the wind. We try to make our cure come in the form of a bottle when what it really comes in the form of is a community that loves and cares for individuals and makes them part of a group of accountable people who care for each other. So often when I talk with the young men and women who come back, what they really miss is the camaraderie. They really miss the esprit de corps.
Yes.
They miss being part of something greater than themselves.
Indeed.
And yes, they went through a literal hell, but they went through it with brothers and sisters beside them. And now they're separated. They're isolated from that. And there's no one to talk to about it. At least they don't think there's anybody to talk to about it. And that's sad because there are men and women ready to talk to them about right. it and be helpful and caring with them.
And it may be somebody in your machine shop. It may be somebody in your school. It may be somebody mm-hmm. in your church. Maybe somebody in your political group. It may be the guy at the corner bar that wants to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
There are always people to go to and say, I need help. And
yes.
somehow you'll get it.
Agreed. And, you know, these young men that go into schools, for the most part, there are symptoms of mental illness. But there's also just a lot of feeling of isolation. And could we have prevented Columbine if an older man had come alongside those young boys and mentored them and showed that he truly cared about them and who they were and who they were going to become? I don't want to paint them as victims, trust me.
Right.
But I really do believe that if we had taken every semi-automatic weapon in the world away, they would have found another way. In fact, they did. They were making pipe bombs, and they were ready to be used there.
The fellow at Aurora, Colorado, I remember I was actually on a security detail at a chemical plant along the Wisconsin-Illinois border. And that's the night I heard, as it happened on live radio, at my guard post, listening to the Aurora, Colorado shooting. So that was 2012.
Yes.
Guy walks into a popular Batman sequel film and shoots up an entire theater. And when they get to his place, it was loaded for bear to blow up all the police.
That whole situation, Jim, you know, have a man silhouetted at the front of a movie theater where no one's allowed to have guns.
In the 2 minutes we have left, some things endure in this world. The sunshine, neighbors, friends, the ones dear to us. Can love overcome hate when you get right down to it in the forms that you've mentioned it in terms of neighbors? Is that really our only recourse for both protection and comfort?
Well, yes, Jim. Simple answer is that truly the only thing that the real issue, and I know this has become cliche, is the hearts of individuals. There's no one good. No, not one. There's nothing more depraved than the human heart.
That potential is in everyone to heal or to hurt.
And the only thing that changes a human heart is another human heart. And in my belief, the workings of God, people don't change unless they're in relationship with somebody else. And if they're allowed to go to their baser instincts, they will. But if they're held in community, held accountable, and worked with, these things won't happen.
And I think the most comforting thing in our life is to know that there's someone who cares. And if you don't have them, find them, because they're out there. Thanks for touching our heart. Nate Bond, school board member out in Walworth County, head of the Veterans Service Office. I'm Jim McClure, your host for this week. I want to have the best wishes for you, and take heart, take heart. This has been Community Matters on WGTD.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD broadcasts from studios located on the Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College. In Kenosha and Racine,